Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to SB Nation's special National League Division Series preview. This is presented by T-Mobile. I'm Eric Steven from True Blue LA, covering the Dodgers. And with me today is Brady Klopfer from McCovey Chronicles, covering the Giants. Brady, first question. As someone whose team has been in the NLDS for a few days, who were you rooting for during last night's Dodgers-Cardinals wildcard game? I think I know the answer to this. I just wanted to hear you say it.
I think you know correctly on this one. Definitely was pulling for the Cardinals there. And truthfully, it was only about a quarter of my rooting interest was due to the fact that I just can't root for the Dodgers and don't want good things to happen to them. And the bulk of it was just the fact that the Dodgers are so much better than the Cardinals. And just from a competitive standpoint, I would much rather the Giants face the 90-win team with the meager run differential than the 106-win team with the historically great run differential.
I was at that game, and I think everyone on the Dodgers side going into that was people talk themselves into being an underdog, but at a certain point, you're like, look, they're 16 wins better than the Cardinals. The Dodgers should beat the Cardinals, but at the same time, it's a one-game playoff. Anything can happen. And it kind of looked like anything was going to happen. You know, it was 1-1 yeah. game late. There was a lot of like botched scoring opportunities on both sides. It was an intense game. I was talking with someone at the game yesterday, how there was a lot of nervous energy at Dodger Stadium. So at times super excited, but at other times they're like, oh no, this could go very badly, very fast. Like there was a lot of, Joe Kelly in important moments, which is always a danger sign, like just kind of craziness. But yeah, but like the Dodgers got through it. Chris Taylor hit the walk-off two-run home run. One of the the loudest moment of the night. But that was an intense game. But what it brings us to is something we've been waiting for a while. Dodgers versus Giants for the first time in the postseason. Although that's... it's a bit of a technicality, but like still it's impressive, or like it's notable that they are playing for the first time in the playoffs. And I mean, I've been looking forward to this for a while, and especially this year, two excellent teams. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah. It's like you said, it's been a long time coming, and it's just so exciting for that reason. But I think I'm just happiest that it did happen in a year like this, where, you know, they've clearly been the two best teams in the division, in the National League, by most counts, the two best teams in baseball this year. And I was kind of worried that it would happen one of those other years where, like, the Dodgers were putting up 100 and something wins and the Giants would, like, squeak into the wild card as a not very good team and then just get pummeled in a game that would get, you know, advertised as a rivalry but wasn't competitive. So this is poetic. This is the best year for the two of them to meet.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about, like, classic rivalries when, like, one's the hammer and one's the nail or something like that, right? Like, it always has to be two, like, very good teams. I know the reason why I sort of mentioned it, it's a technicality that they've never played. It's because, like, way back when, long before we were born, I'm older than you, but I'm not that much older than you that I was alive for these, but 1951 in Brooklyn and New York, 1962 LA and San Francisco, probably the two most famous tiebreaker playoffs in MLB history. It was best of three back then for the National League, back when there was no division. So it was winner goes to the World Series, and the Giants won both games in the third game, or both tiebreakers in the third game, both with ninth inning comebacks, both, like, absolutely destroying the Dodgers' the hearts in the process. But very famous and also very incredible, like, finishes both years. I think the Giants were just red hot down the stretch in 1951, but the Dodgers had to get hot to catch them. This year was similar. I mean, I think I split up the season in thirds for True Blue LA. It's like we're all here for content, and it's a way to have content throughout the year. But that's one of those things where you could kind of see who remains hot, who slumps and when, and who carries a team for a certain stretch. And the Dodgers in the last third of the season, they were 42-12, and that in a normal year that would, like, blow the doors off of just about any division. And with the Giants, it was like, nope, they just sort of stayed there the whole way. And, like, the Dodgers and Giants just kept winning. Like, I think I saw a thing where they won, like, 65. They won on the same day 65 times. And I think only one other year in MLB history have teams done that. So just an insane year for both teams.
The Giants were barely supposed to win 65 times, let alone at the same time as the Dodgers.
So. Yeah, like going into the season, right? Like, I guess let's get to that. What were your, like, realistic expectations, like, before the season?
So, you know what's funny is I was just revisiting some of my spring training articles during this gap here between the season ending and the postseason starting. And I had one article back when I was foolish enough to think that the Padres would be really, really good, like most people thought. Silly me. And I had an article about how the Giants might surprise people and be better than expected, but that it wasn't going to be enough in a division that had two potentially historically great teams, and that with the Padres or Dodgers taking one wild card, then you have to beat eight other teams in order to get the second wild card, and that was unlikely. And one of the lines I had that ended up being so close to accurate and so far from accurate was that I thought it was reasonable. It was very reasonable that the Giants might win 85 games and still finish 20 games behind the Dodgers.
Wow.
Which the 21 games is what it really would have been had they won 85. But, you know, I was on the money there with the Dodgers. But, you know, that was my kind of realistic but optimistic thought. I, you know, the projections were high 70s, which I thought was fair. I thought that things could go right and they could be a mid 80s win team that flirted with a wild card.
And, like, I will give you that's you get credit for that too, but just the fact that you also mentioned that, like, two potentially historically great teams, I mean, you were kind of right. There were
two in the division.
So, like,
I should have stopped while I was ahead though and just not named them.
Yeah, it's the first time in MLB history that two teams with 105 or more wins are playing in the playoffs. The Giants won 107, Dodgers won 106. They got their 107th yesterday, so I was telling someone today, this is a race to 110. That's this week. But yeah, I don't know. It's like with the Dodgers on their side, people were getting kind of crazy with the expectations, like, before the season. because they've kind of been like that, like 100 win pace for like, it was like 4 years before this year, outside of 2018, but just generally they've been roughly in that 100 win pace. But people were writing stuff like, here's how the Dodgers can break the all-time win record this year. And every one of those, people forget, like, there's like an upper limit in baseball, even at your best. Like, down the stretch, we talked about 42-12. That's a ridiculous stretch, but people were nitpicking like single losses, going, well, that's why they lost the division. And well, it's like, yeah, but you can also, you can't really play better than 42-12, right? And it seemed like that was the case with these, like, how are they going to win 116 games? Like, well, they're not, because that's really, really hard. But like, they had, some injuries. Every team has injuries. The Giants did too. But like, they still like won 106. So that's kind of incredible in its own right. And like, it's wild. Like, I know the Giants set their franchise record. The Dodgers tied their franchise record for wins. So like, this is like literally these two teams at their best ever. And so it's like a perfect time for them to be playing in the playoffs. I think that that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
And it's going to be so memorable for that reason. You know, whatever happens, whatever anyone's rooting interests are, if you're at all invested in either of these teams, this is a series that you're going to remember for a very, very, very long time, no matter how it plays out. And that's just fun when you go into a baseball series, knowing that this is going to be historic. This is going to be memorable. It's not even for the World Series. You don't know your team's going to win, but you know that something special is happening and that you need to be there to watch every pitch as it happens.
Now, the Rays, I believe, did they also win 100? They're like, yeah, close enough behind where they're excellent as well. But the Dodgers and Giants had the two best records in baseball. When they're meeting, it's only in the division series and not, say, like the NLCS. Do you have thoughts on that? Like, there was a lot of talk going into the wild card game. It's like, okay, look, you guys won 106 games. How do you feel about being like having to play a one game playoff? Cause you had second best record. Do you have any just general thoughts on that? Like the process or the format of MLB playoffs right now?
I'm a big hater of the one game wild card. I just think, you know, I know that one game single elimination is the most exciting thing in sports, but in baseball, where you play 162 times and you're playing 6 to 7 days a week for half a year, to me, it's really sad when someone then has one game and loses, even if it's the Dodgers. Like, you know, I wanted them to lose, but I would have felt sad for them. I would have felt sad for the fans to have that good of a season, and then you potentially lose just because one player had a bad game one day. That to me is a little tragic, and I wish that they would either just go back to having one wild card team or go to a series for the two wild card teams. As for the two top records meeting in the divisional series, I don't think it's ideal, but I'm not offended by it the way a lot of people are. Mainly because, you know, there is a luck component in sports. There always is. Sometimes you get a better draw, sometimes you get a worse draw. I think there's kind of a limit to how much we can try to make a fair platform for all of the teams so that everyone's going through the same thing. And maybe it would be better to just do reseeding after every round. But then I think you also come into some issues where, you know, what if you end up playing a 95 win team from a really good division versus a 96 win team from a much worse division? So I just don't think there's a way to get that right. So I'm all right with it. It would definitely be ideal if this were the NLCS, but I'm not up in arms about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you with that too. Speaking about home field advantage, should the Dodgers beat the Giants in the series, we'll get to predictions in a little bit. If they move on, they would be the road team to start against either the Braves, who won, I think, 87 games, or the Brewers, who won 95.
That's a bigger issue in my mind.
Yeah, that's a little bit weird, right? But at the same time, I think I'm with you on the one game is definitely unfair. But at the same time, from a, like, just looking at it from the sports perspective, it's almost like forced, like excitement. Like it's almost guaranteed to be an incredible game just because of the stakes. So like you have that every year, and yes, it's between like the usually the fourth and fifth best teams in the league. This year it changed, but the other aspect I thought of this, Max Scherzer alluded to this pregame before his start. He started for the Dodgers in the wild card game, but his thought was like, you really ought to reward division winners. Had the Dodgers and Giants been guaranteed like the same fate, like the old wild card system where both would just be in a division series against someone and you don't have to have that extra step, maybe the Dodgers don't go nuts and go, we're going to trade for Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, you know, let's trade for a Cy Young candidate and an MVP candidate in the same deal. Like that was a shocking trade. I will admit that I did not see that scope coming. But then also the Giants, maybe they don't trade for Chris Bryant, who's like excellent and like a perfect fit for exactly what they needed. I think for the most part, it enhanced like two great teams. It made them play great and be great down the stretch because what they were fighting for was important. So I kind of get it on that regard. And I think it's almost something I don't know how to fix it because like, what do you do? Like, they're going to probably expand the playoffs and maybe they have a thing where I think the proposal was 14 teams where the three division winners like pick their opponent or something in the first round or something weird. Like, but I think as long as you reward like the division winners and make you have to make the regular season mean something, because if you go full like reseeding like the NBA, like from the outside, this is very generalistic, but you know, NBA regular season, like it exists, but it doesn't really matter. Baseball regular season matters. And I think you have to sort of keep that. So I'm kind of with that.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because these last 2 months, and admittedly this was a special season, but these last 2 months, the race between the Giants and Dodgers was really unlike anything I've ever seen in a regular season of any sport. And you're right, you don't get that at all in the NBA. It doesn't matter how closely teams are matched. It just, the outcome isn't important enough to get that drama and that intrigue. And with this, knowing that a team that wins 100 plus games is going to have their back against the wall immediately, it made for 2 months of just absolutely compelling baseball where so much was on the line. And in a 162 game season, I guess that's really important to be able to have so many games feel meaningful and dramatic.
And you look at the flip side, even though they're meeting, you know, relatively early in the playoffs, it does guarantee that one like very high win team will be in the championship series in the National League. So maybe that's good. So before we get into predictions, I wanted to both mention it's more of a coincidence than anything, but both teams starting first basemen who set career highs in home runs this year are injured and will miss the series. Max Muncy dislocated his elbow in game 162. I know Brandon Belt broke his thumb or tore a ligament in his thumb, I think, on a bunt. What game was that in? Was that like the last week of the season?
Yeah, I can't remember which game. It was September 28th, I believe.
Mm. And so, is he going to be out for like this series for sure?
Yeah, he said yesterday that he'll be out for sure, but that he's hopeful for the NLCS, but that I think was more of a, you know, personal hope than medical hope.
Yeah, the Dodgers, I think, haven't officially ruled Max Muncy out, but he's out. Like they're holding out hope, but there's almost no way he plays in the division series. There's no way he's going to play in the division series. They just haven't officially said that yet. So it's one of those things. Like we literally saw him. Muncy was wearing a giant brace on his elbow. And it looked like the kind of brace people wear after surgery. But like, he hasn't had a procedure or anything, but it's like, it's very serious. And I think it's just a matter of like figuring out what exactly he has to do before they officially, I think it's more of a psychological thing. They don't want to just make that a bummer of a thing. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but going into the series. So Giants have home field advantage. They earned that by winning the division. They beat the Dodgers 10 out of the 19 times they played. They get the first two games at home starting Friday night. How do you think this series is going to play out?
Oh, gosh. We're jumping right into the heavy stuff here.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It's an impossible task to try to predict this, right? I mean, like you said, Giants won the series, but only because they played an odd number of games and someone had to win the series. Dodgers won the run differential, I believe, by 2 runs. Giants won the series by 1 game. It really was as close as you could possibly draw up. And if you look back on those 19 games, I mean, how many wild moments were there that defined it? How many crazy walk-off hits? How many robbed home runs? How many missed calls by umpires? There's just so many games that had big moments, came down to the wire, etc. So it's so hard to predict. And it's also very hard to remove my bias, if I'm being honest. I do give a slight edge to the Giants for 3 reasons. The first being the home field advantage. I think these teams are closely enough matched that becomes a bigger thing than maybe in some other series. The second is that, like you said, no Muncy, no Belt. To me, that's pretty close to a wash, but probably a slight advantage for the Giants, given how well Max Muncy hits the Dodgers. I mean, hits the Giants. Yeah. But the Dodgers are without Clayton Kershaw as well, and the Giants have some smaller injuries. But as much as Giants fans love to poke fun at Kershaw's complicated relationship with the postseason, I think that's a huge loss for them, and I think they're a little bit more hurt than the Giants are in that regard. And the third reason is I think the Giants just benefit very well their style of play from having days off, having a short series, and being able to tighten everything up. I think a huge part of their success this year came from playing matchups, making just an ungodly number of substitutions throughout the games, and not having to worry about a fifth start or not having to worry about resting bullpen arms with games off after game two or days off after game two and game four. To me, that really plays into what they try to do strategically. So this is probably just me talking myself into what I want to believe, but I give the Giants a very, very, very tiny edge here.
Yeah. So do you think you're talking like they win in 5 games, they win in 4 games? Okay.
Definitely.
So you talked about Clayton Kershaw being out. So he has elbow soreness, inflammation, something. He doesn't have a torn ligament. That was like a huge sigh of relief. So he doesn't need like surgery, but he's definitely out for the postseason, and it makes for an interesting game four, because they're going to go Walker Buehler game one against Logan Webb, Julio Urias in game two against Kevin Gausman. Game three, they're going to have Max Scherzer back from the wild card game. And I don't think the Giants have named a starter, but it sounds like Alex Wood or something like that. So game four is essentially Tony Gonsolin's game for the Dodgers, but they have a very short leash on him generally. And it's probably going to be like essentially a bullpen game. Now, like you mentioned, because of you don't play more than 2 days in a row in the division series, you have a rested bullpen, you can really be aggressive. So I would imagine Gonsolin might face anywhere between like 9 and 15 batters or something like that. And then they just figure out the rest with a bunch of one inning guys and sort of try to do it that way. But yeah, that's where it definitely gets interesting.
So that's going to be a fascinating game on both sides, because the Dodgers are going to be in that situation. The Giants, presumably, I'm assuming they go Alex Wood game three and Anthony DeSclafani for game four. Here's what Anthony DeSclafani has done in 6 games against the Dodgers this year. 27 innings, 33 hits, 6 home runs, 15 walks, 22 earned runs in 27 innings against the Dodgers.
There was a while pretty far into the season where he had not given up as many runs against everybody else as he had to the Dodgers. He only at the very end, sort of tilted that back the other way.
Yeah, that was sometime in August, I believe, he still had that going.
Yeah, just absolutely wild. And I know a lot of it was like that one game where they scored 10, but they were hitting him like, I think, a good 2 other times, if not 3. And so that'll be like interesting as well. But yeah, so I will give credit. I think so. The Dodgers, they led the National League in runs scored. The Giants were right behind them. Now, but if you factor in like Park, the Dodger Stadium is slightly more hitter friendly than Oracle Park. Not a huge difference, but enough to where I was looking at, if you look at WRC plus, that sort of takes that into account. The Giants are at 108. The Dodgers are 106. So like you could make an argument, especially the way they match up everybody, that the Giants might have a better offense than the Dodgers, even if it might not empirically seem that way, because I think the Dodgers are more stacked with regulars as opposed to like a platoon. And I think people don't tend to think of that being like generally good than they do with, you know, people they can see every day or something like that. So I think it's going to be an excellent matchup. Now, like, again, it's going to sound like we're both biased. The Giants writer is picking the Giants. I think I'm going to pick the Dodgers. I just like the three starting pitchers they do have are all, I mean, Scherzer has had some command issues his last like 3 starts, but he sort of gutted through last night. I still like him a great deal. They're going to have Bueller, Urias, and Scherzer pitch 4 of the 5 games. So I like their chances with that, but I do think they're going to win in 4 games. So I'm going to say Dodgers in 4. That's kind of where I'm at.
Ooh, a good spicy take. I like
it.
And the Giants, I mean, you know, to your point, the Giants have not had much luck against those three hitters this year, or ever, really, if we're being honest. And those three pitchers, I mean, they're good pitchers. You expect them to do well against everyone, but they've done very well, especially Walker Buehler against the Giants.
Now, also, speaking of Buehler, the reason the Giants won the division by a game and, well, there's many reasons, but and they won the season series was that 19th matchup was beating Walker Buehler and pretty handily on Sunday Night Baseball. Now, as long as the Dodgers don't wear those all blue Los Dodgers uniforms, I think they're going to be okay. So that's the secret weapon. You heard it here first. They just avoid the blue, the all blue, and then I think the Dodgers are going to be fine.
Do you have any insider info here, Eric, that they are going to avoid those jerseys?
So they were supposed to wear, I believe, those jerseys twice on the last homestand. It was supposed to be Tuesday and Friday. They wore it Tuesday, including that Tuesday was a Walker Buehler start. But then Friday, they just changed their mind. So they went with the normal white. So I think they're going to stick to that. Now, I tracked, talking about minutia, the Dodgers have 2 gray uniforms. I think the official road jersey is Los Angeles, but they wore Dodgers on the front of their jerseys way more often. So I am intrigued to see what they choose, but it doesn't really mean anything. But like that's just one of those little quirks that I like to pay attention to. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. The Giants, obviously, great team. They have the advantage, but I do think the Dodgers are going to win in 4. But like honestly, just given how well they played, we all know these games are going to be like super close going into the 8th and 9th inning. So I'm looking forward to a great series. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, this is something we're gonna remember regardless of what happens. I think most Giants fans, as much as they are passionate about beating the Dodgers, I think most Giants fans are just happy that this has happened, that the season has made it to this point. Not that they won't be extremely sad and angry if they lose the series, but you know, the Giants are a few years ahead of schedule, and as a fan, I'm mostly just excited that we get to have this, that we got to have such a fun regular season, that we're going to have such a fun postseason, that we know that next regular season, should it happen, is going to be a lot of fun as well. And we know that the rivalry is alive and well. And if it's anything like the 2014 World Series was, I'm going to have some holes in my couch pillows by the end of next week. Because like you said, I think we're going to see a lot of games that are really close coming into the seventh, eighth, ninth, maybe beyond innings.
You brought up 2014. I was convinced the Dodgers and Giants were going to play that year. The Dodgers had to get through the Cardinals to get to the Giants. They did not that year, very famously. However, that you could say that was transformative because that was the final straw for the Ned Colletti era with the Dodgers. And then that offseason, they brought in Andrew Friedman, and they've kind of been on this upward trajectory since then. So maybe it was like for the best. Like, you know, if you can ever know it in the moment, you can never think, well, this is probably good long term. But at the time, it felt very crushing that they didn't get to play. But this year, yeah, looking forward to it. So should be fun.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we did a pretty good job previewing Dodgers Giants. I'm looking forward to the possibly four games, possibly five game series. Like if it's three games, that'll be very weird. But I think we're going to have a lot of fun. And Brady, thank you for joining me. You can read Brady's work at McCovey Chronicles. You can read my work at True Blue LA. And thanks for listening to the SB Nation National League Division Series preview presented by T-Mobile.